You're listening to Jason Hendrick, The Hungry Man, and the Everybody's Hungry segment, part of Tom and Sandy's 805 on KVTA 1590 AM.
The 805.
Representing for everyone in the 805.
It's all about the 805.
From the very best of Ventura County, it's live in the 805. Now, back to your hosts, Tom and Sandy.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining us this morning, it's not Sandy, it's Kat, because Sandy is sleeping somewhere up in the Sierras right now, and she's had a great week up there, sent me some pictures of snow, and it really looked beautiful. I love the Sierras.
It's pretty up there, and I'm glad that she is relaxing and enjoying herself, because getting up this early, I'm thinking, man, I got a lot of respect for you guys.
Oh, man.
Get up.
Hey, and we got 2 more hours to go after this. So
you
it
do.
Just goes. But one thing I do want to point out, go to 805 with Tom and Sandy. Hit the like button there if you're not a fan yet of that, or that liked, whatever it's called there. Hit that. And then check out some of the pictures we put on there, the places we go. You might see our Patriot hat on there. Tom and Sandy are coming out with a line called Peaceful Patriot of different clothing. Right now there's just one hat up there, but we got a whole bunch of stuff coming out. Really cool stuff. So show your pride in America the peaceful way, and you'll see it, the hat there with the peace sign and the American flag. But now we're ready for our third guest. I definitely like that song better than the other one.
I like that song, too. It's growing on me a lot.
it's cool. We got Jason Hendrick. Everybody's hungry.
Good morning. Today's Hungry Man segment is brought to you by Tom and Sandy Live. If you have a concert, special event, business opening, or corporate outing that needs a boost of energy and exposure that only a dynamic duo with a large listener base can bring, then you need Tom and Sandy Live. Call us at 805-570-5636 for rates and consultation.
I was actually
I'm lively.
I was like, go, Jason, go.
That's his morning persona, but I trust everyone out there. He's great on stage.
Well, I'm a ham at least.
Yeah, at least. But you know, Tom and Kat, you guys are both on the road a lot. You're going with all these events. And when you're on the road, sometimes you just want a quick bite, right? You want something that's tasty, portable, that satisfies your hunger.
Yep.
But what if that quick bite is already on the road? What if it's moving around, it's mobile, waiting for you somewhere?
Run it over, and then you cook it. Wrong. There's that rabbit again. Let's get him.
Wrong tasty bite.
Back
That's a different
up,
segment
honey,
coming
it.
Later. But we're talking about food trucks, and more specifically, the first Thursday Gourmet Food
Truck I was talking
Festival.
About food trucks.
You know, this past Thursday, Oxnard just had their Gourmet Food Truck Festival again. They run it the first Thursday of every month. This month it was at Heritage Square. Mm-hmm. With that food truck event, because of some of the regulations with the California Food Code, they actually have to move it about every 4 months because there's regulation about nonprofits and how many times they can have a temporary food facility in one location. So one of the things I want to make sure you guys do is go out to their Facebook page and their Twitter account and follow them so you know when it shifts. But they have some really awesome food trucks that show up, again, the first Thursday of every month. I went with a friend on Thursday. There were 8 trucks there. Some really interesting things. And the concept of the food truck really started back in the late 1800s. When you're talking about chuck wagons and people on the move. You know, you got people building railroads. You've got the pioneers who are traversing the country. The chuck wagon was our very first food truck.
That's interesting. I've been out to the food truck event out there in Oxnard, and it's a lot of fun.
It's wild. I've been there, too.
We learned our tip, though, is like we go in a group, and everyone picks what their favorite's going to be because the line's going to be long.
Yes.
So you get there early. We place a person in each line. They, you know, they get it, and then we all kind of share, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's cool, so you can taste all the different
fun.
Ones.
Yeah, we get to taste everything.
That's a great philosophy, especially one of the booming phenomenon with food trucks is the social media aspect.
Yeah.
And that's how they've really grown as fast and as prevalent as they are right now. LA, New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, they've all got some kind of food truck culture that has really built up over the past, I don't know, maybe
a decade. And it really started with tweeting. They would, tweet where they were at.
Tweeting.
they would tweet where they're at, and people would start following them, looking, and then rush down to where. And there's, in L.A., too, there's some that have huge followings.
Huge followings. And a lot of those trucks from L.A. are coming up for the Oxnard Festival. So we get some tourism. We get some people that are really so ingrained in that culture that they follow them up. A whole hour drive.
White Rabbit is one, and they did so well off the food truck thing, and they got such a good following in Oxnard and fans that they opened an actual
brick
place,
and mortar right down there in the square.
Yeah,
and that's one of the great things that when the food is quality and flavorful and people follow it, you have an opportunity there to build a business. we have some food trucks that are right based here in Ventura. We have It's in the Sauce, Sweet Arlene's, Rock Chef Rolls, all here in Ventura County, and they're working their way around to different locations. So you got to get online. You got to follow these people because they've got great product. A couple of the places that we tried on Thursday was Tabam Brazilian Cuisine out of L.A. And one of the things that was cool for them is the coxinha. It's a potato croquette stuffed with seasoned shredded chicken and cream cheese and then deep fried. Looks like kind of like a potato Hershey Kiss in its shape.
Wow, that sounds great.
You know, one of the neat things about this is you can there's so many really good chefs out there. There's a lot of people that have great ideas, and it allows them to get out there, and we're able to taste their product. Because a chef, I have to believe a little bit sometimes, they get into a kitchen, unless they're the head chef, they're pretty much stifled. In other words, the head chef's going to call the shots.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But a lot of these guys that are second, or the sous chef, as they call them, they really could be better than the head chef.
A lot of times they are.
And a lot of times they are. And this lets them get out, and we're able to taste what they bring to the table.
And it doesn't take a lot. You know, there's a grilled cheese truck that goes around. You can have a very concise menu with only a few items that, if you do them really well with great flavor and creativity, people will want it.
Yeah.
And that's the key, is you don't have to get an extensive menu. You don't have to go way outside the box. You just have to do it well. A lot of times they're using local ingredients as well because they're able to get mobile, and they have commissaries that can store some local product from local farmers and vendors. And they're doing, you know, meals that are portable, fairly inexpensive, depending on how big of a meal you want to
have. Yeah, but they are fairly inexpensive.
And with great quality.
You know, a question I have for both of you guys right here. If you go into a restaurant, would you rather see a menu that has, say, 8 to 10 items on it, that's all that's on the menu, okay, or one of those that has 75 items on it?
And that's a conversation I have quite a bit with chefs, because I go in right now working with a lot of the restaurants and chefs trying to get them to shift to local, in-season, local, with all their offerings. And what I try to tell them is I don't think the general public really wants to go in and have to decide after 75 items. They want to know what you do and what you do best. So if you give a good offering, chicken, fish, vegetarian, however you want to lay out your menu, and you do it well and do it the best you can, and that's what you're the best at, and it's local, it's fresh, it's... That is what the customer's coming to you for, is to do what you do best.
I'm on board with that. Because one of the things I think happens when you have a very extensive menu is it actually confuses the customer.
Well, they'll
if they go there frequently, they'll end up getting into a single item that they are comfortable with, they know, and they'll go with that every time. Where if you have a smaller menu, I think a customer is going to be more apt to try something unique and different because they know the quality is there and the flavor is there, and they're not as intimidated by this huge list.
I completely
And one of the 100%. Things that I have found when they have this huge list is that 10 of the products have the same sauce.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's
they just put maybe a different cheese in this or a little different green on this, but it's the same sauce.
Exactly.
And that's, you don't want that. In other words, if somebody's doing 10 products, each one of those products is going to, if it's a good restaurant, of course, like let's say a Cafe Zach, okay? Great restaurant.
Wonderful restaurant.
Right? Okay. Each one of his products has a totally different sauce, cooking, everything. You're not going to taste the wild boar, for instance, the borscht, which I just die for over there. You're not going to taste that sauce on something else.
Right.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Not. But what's nice is a place like Cafe Zach, and a lot of restaurants will do this too. If they've got a sauce you like and you do want to try it on something else. I was at Cafe Zach one night and they have the lobster corn bisque thing.
I've
and he
that.
Said, he goes, I don't really want to see it. He goes, well, you know what? It's amazing over pasta. Let me do that for you and see if you like it. Blew me, and I get that every time I
and
go in now.
Right.
Again, I get stuck in that, but I do that because it's like, that's fantastic.
And it ties right into that creativity and that concise menu we're talking about with the food trucks. One of the trucks that we also tasted from was Vicho's. And Vicho is actually a slang term in South America referencing young people. One of their staple items is the pupusa. They had a few other items on the menu as well, but the pupusa was kind of their main core. I had it actually with Loroco and cheese, which is...
The heck are you talking about?
Exactly.
Pupusa, Loroco? Is that like a burger or
He's
something?
He's talking food truck talk right now.
What is that?
That mentality is exactly why I ordered it, because I'm like, I have no idea what it was. I'm Googling Loroco while I'm in line. A pupusa
I have a pupusa. Well, good, put it over there, will you?
The hospital's down the street.
Yeah, what's that little baggie in your hand?
A pupusa is a thick corn tortilla filled with cheese and a meat or vegetable of your choice, typically. And the Loroco is a flowering vine, and it's used similar to squash blossoms. So they actually pull the flower off the vine, and it has a really interesting kind of asparagus, cabbagey, green component and a crunch that was awesome with the pupusa. But it, again, I would have never seen that anywhere else. The truck came up, it parks, I was able to go up and order and get something tasty.
And that's what I'd say I like about the food truck, the whole culture of mm-hmm. that is trying something different, seeing things you haven't tried before. It gives them an opportunity as a chef to kind of, you know, showcase themselves. They also get to build, as we said, that fan base to possibly open a brick and mortar place. But it's so much fun to go and discover something that you've never had before, which people tend to do it a little more at the food truck scene than they do walking into a restaurant. Sure. So I agree back to what you said, Tom, is like if a menu is set a little harder on this is what we have and this is what we're the best at, I think it helps people.
And I think you anticipate that you're going to get a better meal when it's like that.
Most definitely. We're seeing some consistency in some of those trucks as well. Escobash is at Surf Brewery on a regular basis now because people want their food. Mm. And you can't get food in Surf, but you can bring it in. They park right outside the door, and they're there on the weekends whenever you want it.
They've got great food.
One thing I want to point out, and because I brought up Cafe Zach, it must be that I want the boar shank.
Maybe they need a truck.
Yeah. Well, I don't care what they can park in front of my house, okay? I love those guys. But on May 9th, and I don't have all the statistics, Tom and Sandy are putting together a dinner with Cafe Zach and Islands Brewing. It's going to be a 5-course meal paired with beers and some of the finest things that Cafe Zach do. Probably by next week, we'll know exactly what the details are. But I know May 9th, circle that on your calendar because it's going to be a phenomenal night with Tom and Sandy there, and we're really looking forward to that. Jason, tell us real quick about Everybody's Hungry.
Everybody's Hungry is a food-focused educational and fundraising group in the county benefiting on local food banks and gleaning programs. We try to do classes and tours of food aspects that share passion, educate, and raise awareness. We do have a giveaway, though.
Excellent.
Because these food trucks aren't there all the time. Some of our friends at Access wanted to provide an option in Oxnard instead.
Good.
We have a $20 gift certificate to the kitchen and a $20 gift certificate to Sugar Beets.
Outstanding. So give us a call at 650-1590. We'll take callers number 10 and 18 on that one. I switched it up there a little
bit.
You did.
You
see that? Yeah. I mean, hey, I've got some talent. Okay. Number 10 and 18, 650-1590 for a $20 gift card to the kitchen or to Sugar Beets. Jason, we appreciate it.
We appreciate it as well.
Good
Thank
to see you.
You. We're going to go to break right now. You're listening to Tom and Sandy with, I'm running out of gas here, with Kat filling in for Sandy. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Everybody's Hungry segment on Tom and Sandy's 805. Follow us at everybodyshungry.org on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+.